How do you trust in God's blessing when, despite your faith in the Lord, as you look around at your life, it feels more like you're under God's curse? Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we will hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's message on Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 to 43. In it, we will hear how God blessed Jacob even while his father-in-law worked to steal from him and make him his virtual slave. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
Dear congregation, in Genesis chapter 28, God promised Jacob many blessings, one of which was an increase in prosperity. And the word that was used in that chapter appears two more times in the chapter I read to you this morning. In verse 30 of chapter 30, Jacob says to Laban, "Since I've come to you now, you have increased unto a multitude." The same word is used. And then in the conclusion of this chapter, verse 43, we read a summary of the purpose of this chapter, which is the fulfillment of God's promise, and the man increased exceedingly. And again, the very same word is used, showing us this is the primary theme of Genesis 30, the second part. And so with God's help, I want to look at this with you this morning, this portion of God's word, and we'll read again only verse 43. "And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and men servants, and camels, and asses." My theme then this morning is, God blesses us despite three things. Despite our unpromising circumstances, despite our untrustworthy colleagues, and despite our unworthy craftiness. God blesses us despite our unpromising circumstances, our untrustworthy colleagues, our unworthy craftiness. You recall from many sermons in the last year or two how often God blessed Abraham. God blessed him, called him to be a servant, and said, "Thou shalt be a blessing." And that is really what God does with every one of his people. He fulfills his own word, "I will bless thee, and then thou shalt be a blessing." Well, Abraham's son, grandson, Jacob, began to experience that when God met him at Bethel, back in chapter 28. There we read that God said, "I am with thee, Jacob, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And to this very moment, God has been with Jacob, despite who Jacob has been. God has multiplied him, multiplied his family. He now has sons and daughters in abundance. God has been good to Jacob. And dear parents, this morning, we can see visibly God has been good to you. He's blessed you with a firstborn. He's blessed you with another child. He's granted you precious boys to bring to him this morning. He's carried you mothers through challenging times of pregnancy. He's shown you His amazing grace. He's blessed you. And He wants you to be a blessing. And yet Jacob had his own character get in the way. In the last part of Genesis 30, we're looking at an amazing period of 6 years in Jacob's life, during which he made a fortune, actually. He became extremely wealthy in this short period of time that we read about this morning. And verse 43 really sums it up all. The man increased exceedingly and had great amounts of children and servants and livestock. He was exceedingly prosperous. But the amazing thing was, he was prosperous and so blessed despite the unpromising circumstances in the context of this chapter. And despite his untrustworthy colleague, Laban, and despite his own unworthy craftiness. And those are the things I want to look at with you this morning. That God blesses us in His covenant faithfulness despite all the things that stand up in the way against that blessing. So first then, God blesses Jacob and God blesses us despite our unpromising circumstances. Consider Jacob. He had been working for 14 years, hard work. He says later on in chapter 31 that he spent sleepless nights in the heat and in the cold. His work was dangerous. And yet after 14 years, he didn't have a single dollar in his pocket. All he had managed to do was pay the dowry price for Leah and Rachel. He got hoodwinked, you remember, by Laban into working another 7 years for Rachel because Laban deceived him and gave him Leah instead of Rachel at the beginning. Now, in verse 25, where we pick up again from where we left off some months ago, in verse 25, Jacob has a desire to return to his own homeland, to go back to the land of promise. And I think what's going on here is that we read in the verse before, you remember, that finally his beloved Rachel has a son. And Jacob sees in this and in the sons that he's been privileged to have and daughters, he sees that God has multiplied his seed, that God is fulfilling His promise. And this urges Jacob, encourages him to want to go back to his own place and to his own country. So he says to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Now, Jacob is in a tricky and vulnerable position here. We have to read between the lines, really, to understand what's going on. Did you notice in verse 26 that he actually says to his uncle, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. Why does he ask that? Don't his wives belong to him? Well, he actually asked this because according to law, technically speaking, they actually still belong to Laban. You can read that a bit later in Exodus 21, verse 4, of a Hebrew servant. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's. And if he leaves, he shall go out by himself. So a servant's wife and children, technically speaking, didn't belong to the husband, but to the one who gave them to the husband. And so even though Leah and Rachel were given to Jacob by Laban, Laban could still have a claim on them because Jacob was his servant. Now, we know that Laban realized this because later on in chapter 31, if you notice in verse 43, he directly and rather tight-fistedly said, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and all that thou seest is mine. That was his response when Jacob took what Jacob thought was his and went away without Laban's permission. No, no, says Laban. These really belong to me. So Jacob has to be careful what he does here because he knows deep down that Laban could send him away penniless, without his possessions, without his wives, even without his children. And you can almost hear, can't you, in verse 30 here in our chapter, the frustration, almost the despair in Jacob's voice as he says, "And now, after 14 years, when shall I provide for my own house also?" You see, obviously, he knows and Laban knows that Laban doesn't want Jacob to go. And they both know that Laban's been getting a good deal out of Jacob. He's got a valuable hard worker at a reasonable rate. He doesn't want to lose him and he doesn't want to pay him. Laban is incredibly crooked and selfish. And let's not be deceived by the Oriental politeness of verse 27. This is just typical Oriental syrup. Orientals are good at pouring such syrup on things when they want to say something nasty. Verse 27, Laban says, "If I found favor in thine eyes," he sounds so polite, you see, "tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake." So Laban's admitting that he's getting wealthy because the blessing of the covenant is descending on Jacob and God is blessing Jacob's work. So Laban's getting wealthy off of Jacob. Jacob says the same thing later on in this chapter. He says, "When I came here, Laban, you had little and now you've increased abundantly." Verse 30. So Laban is really saying, "Tarry here. I'm not going to let you go easily, Jacob, because I know that my physical prosperity depends upon you staying here." That's really a blatant refusal. And so Jacob finds himself in the most unpromising of circumstances. Now later on in Deuteronomy chapter 15, we read about the generosity of the law of God. "If thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Of all that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him." In other words, God said later on, if you let a servant go in the seventh year, give him a good severance package. Give him a good going away present. But you see, that law wasn't in effect yet. And Laban doesn't want to let this happen. Laban won't give Jacob any traveling expenses, much less a severance package. Laban is just for Laban. And what a parallel there here is today, don't you, with many, many layoffs taking place in our economic downturn today. And some of you have experienced this painfully. You were called into your boss's office and you were told that you're being let go today. Clean out your desk now. And someone followed you and watched to make sure you didn't take anything. You've been working for this company for years and they walked you out to the parking lot and they took your keys and suddenly you were done. No severance package. Your employment is over. Never mind how many years you worked for the company. Well, that's the way Laban is treating Jacob. Never mind you worked 14 years for me, Jacob. Built up my business. You go away. You're going away empty-handed. Now, of course, many of us have not had to face this trauma. And maybe you're asking, well, what does all this have to do with me today? Well, it has a lot to do with you today. Because while our outward circumstances may be different than Jacob's, our inward spiritual realities are very much the same. God promises to bless His people, His covenant church, as He promised Jacob. And this passage assures you that if you're a believer, He will bless you in spite of everything that stands in your way. Maybe in your past, your character was as bad as Jacob's. You were a trickster, you were a supplanter, you were a deceiver, you have all kinds of bad history in your life. It's far from ideal. You've made mistakes, you've committed sins, you've messed up your life, perhaps as badly as Jacob did. And yet God comes to bless him. Despite all these unpromising circumstances. What an encouragement to seek the Lord. And maybe even today, your life is a mess. You may have made many mistakes as parents, not just these parents, but all of us as parents have made many mistakes, haven't we? And perhaps even today, you're paying the price for that. Maybe there's tensions and difficulties and problems in your home, as there was in Jacob's home, as Leah and Rachel battled it out together. Maybe you've got children that are battling it out. Maybe there's strife in your home. Maybe you're worried about your future. And maybe you say, how can I cope with all this mess that I've made in my own home? Well, you see, even God's people can often be unwell, lonely, unemployed, or have difficulties in their home. We all know times in our lives, don't we? And we are in difficult circumstances. And yet the lesson here is that God blesses Jacob. He increases exceedingly. In the midst of a situation that seems hopeless, God is watching over him. The faithful God is keeping him. The God of the covenant, the God of baptism, is taking care of Jacob. But how does God extricate Jacob from this mess he's in and bless him with real prosperity? Well, Jacob suggests a deal to Laban. And let me first say that since we're an urban congregation, I need to point out to you that most sheep are not spotted and speckled or brown. Most sheep are white. And particularly in the Near East, most sheep are single color. They're called monochrome animals. Only a very small percentage, 10 to 20% at most, are spotted or speckled. And what Jacob does is he cuts a deal with Laban and he says, I realize you're right. I've worked 14 years. I don't have a penny in my pocket. And I realize you won't let me go now. You want me to work more for you. But I need to build up some income for my family so I have some future. So I'll cut a deal with you. If you give me the speckled and the spotted and the brown sheep, just a small percentage of your flock. And by the way, a slave at that time who actually took care of his master's sheep often was paid 20%. And this was less than 10% probably, at the most, under 20 somewhere. So Jacob says, if you give these to me, then I'll be able to build up something in the coming years. And what he ends up doing, actually, is he ends up working 6 more years for Laban. And Laban hears this deal, and he's smug about it. No doubt when he walked away, he's laughing to himself. I can't believe how stupid Jacob is. He gave me such a good deal. He agrees with it right away, of course. He says, there's very few that are born this way. I'm going to get almost all the sheep. And so the deal is clear cut for Laban. It's a windfall for him. And so he says, yes. And at first glance, you're confused, aren't you? Jacob, what are you doing? At first glance, I say, because you see, Laban looks at the whole situation with God out of the equation. And that's how we often look at things, don't we? We're prone to do that in business dealings in life. We tend to look at it without God. And when we look at it without God, we look very distortedly, you see, because God is never out of any equation. God is always there. God is always involved. And with his people, he always blesses them in spite of unlikely circumstances. But things get worse before they get better. God not only blesses us despite unpromising circumstances, but even despite untrustworthy colleagues. That's our second thought this morning. Some decades ago, perhaps you remember, when one of the candidates running for the U.S. presidency published a very unflattering photograph of his opponent, Richard Nixon. And underneath it, he put the slogan, "Would you buy a used car from this man?" Now, it wasn't a very sophisticated political debate at this point, but it was effective because people psychologically looked at this picture of Nixon, where he looked very untrustworthy. Then they looked at the caption beneath it, and they said, well, we can't trust this man. But this morning, may I ask you this question? Would you buy a used car from Laban? I don't think so. The picture isn't very flattering. The picture looks pretty untrustworthy. Even though Laban appears to be so clever, he says in verse 28, "Appoint me thy wages, Jacob, and I will give it." Now, that sounds pretty generous, doesn't it? Imagine if you went to work tomorrow morning and your boss came to you and said, "Well, just tell me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. Appoint me your wages." Well, you say, what a generous employer. What a nice guy this Laban is. But we need to go back 14 years, back to chapter 29, verse 15, where the same two people are speaking. And you remember Laban says in 29:15, "Because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Jacob says, "Well, I want to work. I want to work for Rachel." He says, "Well, 7 years." But what happened after 7 years, we know. He got Leah. He was cheated. That's the same man, the same character, making the same kind of offer. And so when Jacob cuts a deal with him, what does Laban do? Immediately, he removes all the speckled animals from the flocks and gets his son to take them away on a 3-day journey, leaving Jacob with only single colored flocks of sheep and goats. This is amazing. Jacob is giving Laban a good deal to begin with. And Laban's saying, "That's not even enough. I'm going to trick you, Jacob. And I'm taking away all the sheep that really are yours now already, even though it's only probably 7, 8, 9%. I'm taking them away with my sons, and they're going to go far away from you. So you only have to work with the plain colored sheep. So really, my goal is to get you to remain penniless." You see, Jacob the deceiver continues to be deceived. He continues to sow what he's reaped in his own past. But Laban is a crook. He's an untrustworthy colleague. And so for 6 more years, Laban keeps tinkering with the contract and changing it. You read in the next chapter, chapter 31, that when Jacob finally does leave Laban, he says to his wives, "Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me." You see, verse 9, "God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me." So here's what happened. You see, every time the speckled and spotted and the sheep that Jacob had began to multiply, Laban changed game plans. And because he was the master, he had the authority to do that. And Jacob had to submit, and every time Jacob had to start over. And 10 times in 6 years, you know, that's almost twice a year. Every 8 or 9 months, Laban is changing plans. And yet God blesses Jacob in these most unpromising circumstances with this most untrustworthy master. God continues to fulfill his promise. And even Laban, worldly Laban, sees that God is blessing Jacob and knows that God is blessing Laban because of Jacob. What an amazing covenant-keeping God we have. Amazing. God said to Abraham, all people on earth will be blessed through you. You will be a blessing to the world. And here even Laban gets to participate. Crooked Laban gets to participate in some of those blessings. God is absolutely astonishing. But what Laban doesn't reckon with is that God doesn't only say, I will bless those who bless thee, but also I will curse those who curse thee. And Laban was playing with fire when he tried to manipulate Jacob. He was really trying to manipulate God. And when you're trying to manipulate God through manipulating the children of God, you get in great danger, my friend, even today. But the beauty here is that God is able to bless you and me as true believers in spite of unhelpful, unsympathetic, untrustworthy people that may surround us. You may be working right now for a very unsatisfactory employer. You may have colleagues who are treacherous or selfish or unhelpful. You may have children who are lying to you, giving you a rough time. You may find yourself in a family situation where everyone else in your family has no sympathy for the fact that you love the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God. You may have so-called friends who turn out to be no friends at all. You young people, you may have friends that take you to wrong places and do wrong things and try to lead you into it with them, and they're no friends at all. They're Labans to you. But the amazing thing is, God goes on and blesses Jacob, and he keeps prospering despite the tenfold wage change. The text says he increased exceedingly. God kept fulfilling his promises. God kept overruling. And Jacob realizes that. He says in chapter 31, God has taken away. God has taken away. It wasn't my cleverness. God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Laban had to admit that God's hand was in this. And you see, when you walk worthy of God, even unbelievers sometimes have to admit, as they look at the children of God, that the blessing of God is upon them. God is able to bless us in spite of unpromising circumstances, in spite of untrustworthy colleagues.
Even when the Apostle Paul was in prison for his preaching of the gospel, he could say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." May you know God's blessing through faith in Jesus Christ, whatever your circumstances may be. Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."